soon enough.
Not soon enough, exactly.
We should start sending peach pies.
Take the hint.
All right, well, we're going to start here.
Okay.
So, as usual, we're going to ask you guys to go to Facebook, like and share the page, comment on some stuff. Head over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
@comesnaturalpod.
And then head over to iTunes and rate and review the show and subscribe so you can get it for free every Friday when it comes out. And we're going to start proper now. So, Comes Naturally, we are...
Joe.
I'm Cody. And joining us live at his comic shop is...
Ken.
Yeah, the return of Ken.
Yes.
So...
Ken strikes back.
Yeah, Ken strikes back. Which
this
is
the third one. This would be with a vengeance, wouldn't it be?
That's right.
Be.
Either for reverse order, I'm the new hope.
Is this the third time?
Is it the third time?
At least, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, with revenge of the Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Episode 6 with Ken will be, Ken.
The clone Kens?
Oh, what could you do?
That'd be episode 2, right?
Well, Return of the Ken would be...
The Phantom Ken?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, gross.
It's a really nerdy version of Hollow Man.
Exactly, dude. Hollow Man.
It's not even good.
Palpatine. Oh, no, dude. Darth Plagueis. I blame Darth Plagueis for this whole problem in the Star Wars universe right now.
Is that what it is?
Is it Darth Plagueis? Is he our number one villain or no?
I don't know.
There's a lot of rumors going around who Snook is.
Yeah, who is Snook? Or Snoke, whatever.
I don't know. I think it's going to be someone we don't know who it is.
Who's Phasma?
It's that chick from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
At least we know she's actually a lady.
That's true.
In the trailer, you see her without a helmet.
I told you my theory?
Yeah, we were talking about, actually. Did we talk about it on the show, or we talked about it off the show?
I don't know. We talk so much.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it was just about how she's a super spy.
I think she's Poe's mom.
Poe's mom? Mm-hmm.
Poe Dameron's mom.
No, because... Well, no, because she's too young to be...
Well, how would it work?
Yeah. Well, Poe... In the Shattered Empire story, he was born at the end of that story.
Okay.
Which took place after Return of the Jedi. And how old's, Poe, would you say? 24, 25?
After Return of the Jedi?
In the new movies? And, Force Awakens?
Well, Force Awakens is 20... I know we talked about it before. It's 23 years after.
So I think about 23 years old, right? And at the end of the Shattered Empire comic series, they introduce, or in the beginning of it, they introduce Poe's mom.
No, it would be 30-something because wasn't Kylo in his 30s? He's 29, 30, right? When we figured out?
I don't think so.
We found this timeline we were talking about the other day on the show.
So is Poe and Kylo around the same age?
That could be.
Because... theoretically, Poe was raised around a Jedi tree.
29 years
old. Not theoretically.
Force Awakens.
29. Okay. So, yeah. So, and he was born a year after the events of Return of the Jedi.
Mm. Okay. So at the Shattered Empire story took place right at the end of Return of the Jedi, right? That four-part miniseries?
Wasn't Shattered Empire during Empire?
It took place it starts... more or less during the Ewok celebration in that four-part Shattered Empire story on Endor. And they're all celebrating the fact that they defeated the Empire finally, and one of the
Shattered
pilots...
Shattered Empire, dude? Because wasn't Vader in Shattered Empire?
Shattered, no. Vader was... he was already dead by that. They did the whole burning of the cart...
The body.
And at the end of Shattered Empire.
So we were told, by the way. I didn't see a body burning. I saw armor burning.
That's true. No body. No evidence.
I'm pretty sure that he was in there.
Because in Shattered...
You peel his body out of that thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Good point, dude. That's like trying to get bacon off of a microwave piece of wax paper.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that, dude. It's like, all right, if you overcook bacon on wax paper in a microwave, that thing's not coming off.
Nah.
It's a Band-Aid, bro. Just whack.
But in Shattered Empire, in the Endor celebration, that's where we get introduced to Poe's mom and Poe's dad. And Poe's dad was an Endor trooper downed with Han Solo on Endor. And then Poe's mom was an A-Wing fighter that helped lead the squadron against blowing up the Death Star again. And Poe's dad was kind of like glossed over a little bit, but Poe's mom was the focus of that miniseries.
Okay.
And she went on a spy mission with Leia, Lando, and Luke. And at the last part, Luke took her with him to go into the Emperor's quarters and break out the Jedi trees. Then he took the Jedi trees and gave one to Poe's parents. And more or less they retired from the rebellion at that point because the war was over. And they went to a planet and planted the tree and rose Poe. And that was more or less the end of the story. And Luke must have took his tree where we see him more or less at the top of whatever mountain that is, the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Like Hawaii Part 2 with like only one vacation spot just for him. And that was more or less the other Jedi tree. So that makes, I believe, like Poe raised around a Jedi tree gives him the exceptional Luke Skywalker type of X-Wing fighter skills with his flight skills.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke, you know, whatever he did by himself up there, just trying to maybe find ways to foster the Force. But technically, trees lay seeds.
Okay.
Well, and yeah. So if Luke and Poe's mom don't know about this tree, and there are a lot of people that know it, could have Luke been fostering the Force in different parts of the galaxy to try to reawaken the Force? And
I didn't know anything about that stuff. But I haven't read Shattered Empire.
Poe's mom and Poe's father have not been talked about since that series.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory was that Leia's talked to from an intelligent source in Force Awakens, right? That gives them information about the attacks.
Well, they have
spies
that we know of.
Yeah, and now Captain Phasma, ironically, was able to let Finn go, which helped Poe be freed.
Mm-hmm.
From, is it the fifth or first, like, the what's it called? The fifth order? First order?
First order.
The first order. Yeah. My apologies, dude. Think of the fifth column from V type of thing from
not
that V TV series.
No.
I know, completely thing. Different things. This, both start with Fs. That's about it. But
and numbers.
And numbers. Mm. So, in theory, too easy for Captain Phasma to let Finn go and like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought he was under my control. I thought he was trained. I didn't think he would do something like this. Or is Phasma actually a spy for Leia that's communicating information with inside of the First Order? And the big reveal will be that in the next movie, there's always like, Vader or Luke, I'm your father. Poe, stop, I'm your mother. And takes off the mask, and there you have, just like with Vader, it's not the person underneath the mask that's the actor, it's the person they want it to be for their story. And then there's your, oh wow, look, it's actually Poe's mom this whole time. It's Captain Phasma.
Do we know what Poe's mom looks like?
She
was in the book, right?
Yes. She looks a lot like, I don't want to say Aphra, but a little bit like Aphra.
She blonde?
No, she's dark hair.
Alright, well, that's what they show like the Phasma in the new trailer without the helmet on. She's got blonde hair.
They show her in the trailer with Kev. She could have dyed her hair.
Yeah.
Just like that way she hides from, you know, like if they've seen her, they may have disguised her to look differently.
I mean, saying, yeah, that is nothing.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they don't want her to be found out that she's any connections to the rebellion or whatever. They're not even called rebellion anymore because they won. What's their new name now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The Winners. The Alliance.
Winners.
They're the Resistance in Force Awakens.
The Resistance, kind of.
Yeah.
And just wild theories based off of reading comics and watching movies and, you know, hoping that there she is.
That's her, yeah, that's her right there.
She even looks a little bit like Han Solo's ex-wife.
A little bit, yeah.
Like could be descended from
that. Oh, that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Shara Bay. There we go. I apologize. I couldn't remember the name without looking at it on a screen, but that is it. That's Poe's mom, Shara Bay. But yeah, she worked with Lando, she worked with Leia, and she worked with Luke, all in the same story. And then that last story with getting the Jedi tree going, O-S-H-I-T. That is a huge little hint about what's going on here in The Force Awakens. That tree awakened the Force, because Emperor was trying to keep it constipated so he could control the Force. Now the Force is awakening across the galaxy. That's why Shattered Empire is called The Journey to Force Awakens, because they're awakening the Force in that crazy-ass tree.
Interesting.
But that story is so underrated in the big picture of things. I think, I don't know why it's so under-glossed, but...
And this came out in 2015?
It came out right before Force Awakens did.
Wow.
And yeah. I go, what the heck does this have to do with anything? And then you read it and go, oh, wow. We don't see Shara Bay in the movie. We don't see... What was her husband's name again, too? Poe's dad?
I think that was Cass Dameron.
Yeah, Cass Dameron. Yeah. He was the Endor trooper, and she was the A-wing pilot that took place in that final battle.
This was only, what, 4 issues long?
Yeah.
Two? Yeah, that's a pretty short read.
Marco Cicchetto did the art on it. I'm trying to remember who.
Oh, Cicchetto did the
art? Yeah, his art's beautiful.
It was Rucka that did that.
Rucka, that's right. Yeah. Rucka wrote that.
Because he wrote all the Road to Force Awakens stuff, because he wrote the youth novel and stuff.
He did he write the Obi and Anakin series? Because I know Cicchetto drew the art in that, too. Did someone else write that one?
I remember.
Because I also think that the pilot that's her mentor in that Shattered Empire story, something's fishy about him, too. Because they had someone that looked similar to him inside of Obi and Anakin, where it was a young Jedi training with Anakin. And they're kind of clowning on Anakin. Then Anakin went nuts on that Darth Maul hologram robot thing.
Let's see.
Everyone, oh, man, Anakin's no joke.
Oh, no, it's Charles Soule that wrote that one. Yeah.
And then also in this... this new series, Screaming Citadel, there's another character that looks similar to that, character that was the X-Wing pilot that's in Poe's crew. And maybe it's just like that Marco Cicchetto really likes that alien design, and he designed that on his own. But the guy that looks kind of like a communion alien, you know what I'm talking about? He was Poe's mom's mentor. He's inside of Poe's X-Wing squadron still. And there was one that looked similar to him that was inside of the Jedi training sessions when Palpatine was kind of studying Anakin and Obi-Wan and Anakin. And then, of course, they just put him inside that Screaming Citadel story, too, as well, at the party, where they go to try to give their gifts to the Red Queen lady.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just found that pretty fascinating, trying to put all the dots together in my map.
Here it says she died 6 years after the Battle of Mendor, though.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen? Yeah,
she dies.
Yeah, I got yeah. that.
Dies.
It just says in the end, Poe never heard more of his mother's stories. Shara Bey died 6 years after the Battle of Endor.
Is that books or something?
I don't know. This is a Wikipedia site.
That's like Lucas's trolls getting in there trying to get to turn the other direction.
Yeah, right.
Because that never happened in the comic. It just showed them living with like Poe Dameron's baby Poe. Looking off the sunset, we can raise our kid now.
And what's there's Bloodline? No more.
Yeah, there's just so much to go through.
Also, Before the Awakening?
Yeah.
It's a book?
Before the Awakening?
It must have been, yeah, there were novels that came out that were supposed to extend the story. You know, kind of like how the comics are extending the story.
Well, Before the Awakening was the story of Finn, Rey, and Poe.
But it seems like that's where they mentioned that. His mom died six years after.
Could be because there is a story about him in there.
So how did Poe get into the rebellion then? Did they find him or something?
He
decided to follow in his mom's footsteps, is what it said.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess he because the way he grew up, probably.
Okay. And what happened to his dad?
That's another good story. I don't know.
He had a sex change and became
maybe
that plasma. Takes a really weird.
Can you imagine? Maybe Poe's dad, Snoke.
You see, okay, everybody, you can start out as a low-level stormtrooper and work your way all the way up to...
You could be an Endor soldier that wears horrible costumes and green camouflage, but you could become Snoke if you tried by the 17-step plan to become a dictator for the First Order. You can sign up now by calling 1-800-FIRST-ORDER.
I don't think it's that easy.
They blew up the planet pretty easily. I was pretty impressed. They got this new death weapon pretty easily, that First Order.
I mean, it did take 30 years, not easily.
Well, you don't have to.
The book, by the way, if you haven't read the Force Awakens book, the weapon that's in the book is drastically different from the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd they change it up?
So it doesn't actually shoot a beam. It's a sublight weapon,
like solar. Or something?
So it opens up a literally a hyperspace tunnel,
what?
And sends in this energy and erupts the core of the planet. Turning a planet into basically a planet-sized bomb that just eradicates all the planets around it.
And this is why humans, we don't mess with the Hadron Collider. Because I can see.
It's ridiculous.
Good God.
Yeah, that's way more impressive than the...
that sounds pretty amazing.
Than the splitting beam one that just eliminates all the planets around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's the magic of books. You can be so much more than what the mind can put onto film.
Very true. I'm trying to see if there's an updated one that has anything on it, but I don't see anything.
Yeah, for his dad, it just says that he settled on Yavin 4 and planted the tree at a Jedi temple. So it doesn't really say what he ended up doing.
Gosh, dude, who's writing this stuff, too? Because it wasn't the Jedi temple. Wasn't that in Palpatine's chambers? Because he had it locked up.
Let's see, number 3.
Well, he could have after the fact.
Shattered Empire, okay. Part 4.
Because, like, Luke and Shara, like, busted into what was left over of the Empire's quarters to get to Palpatine's chambers.
It says it was issue 4 of Shattered Empire. Dream.
Yeah, that was the last part of the story. That was a pretty awesome thing. I'm going, what? Because I was shocked to all free water. Because water should be free no matter where you're at, especially in Arizona.
Yeah, right.
But as we drink bottled waters here, I was shocked about what they found inside the quarters. I'm going, are you kidding me? The Jedi tree, the Jedi Force grows on trees? They're spores? I was not aware of that until that moment.
A lot of people aren't aware of a lot of stuff with the Force.
Yeah,
yeah, not everyone can be born of midichlorians.
Yeah, this says, in the jungles of Yavin 4, Shara Bay and Kes Dameron plant the second tree in the ground. Dameron takes her hand.
Yeah, because Luke took one and he took one. She took one.
And says, let's go home, Shara Bay. So
that's how it ends.
It was just back here. It says that it's a Jedi temple.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Which could have been destroyed by now because, Kylo and his Knights of Ren went on a Jedi killing spree.
From the Jedi temple. I misread that. From the Jedi temple. So it wasn't a Jedi temple where they planted it. They took it from a Jedi temple.
Yeah, dude. Right? Okay, yeah. It's like, I remember it's like that. They busted in because it was guarded by the Empire pretty hardcore, and it was in one of Emperor's chambers. I remember that. You know, and they like, whoa. You see, Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Well, I said, too, the Wikipedia, they seem to know their stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
If I read it again, these people will definitely prove me wrong. But I remember it was freaking awesome.
Do you have the trade downstairs?
I think we have it, yeah. We'll probably look it up.
I'll grab it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Keep talking.
Cool. But it was pretty intense 4-part story. I call it one of the most important miniseries in this whole movie franchise storytelling. Because it's setting up something. And we didn't see much of it in Force Awakens of what it set up. But it was the journey to Force Awakens. And I think the main thing was it was the Dane Jedi trees is what the whole point of the story was. And to introduce, Poe's parents and then just kind of gloss over like, oh, they died 6 years later inside of the book. Darth Vader supposedly killed Anakin Skywalker too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, George Lucas and his story tells whatever's convenient to keep the reveal hidden until they make the reveal.
Yeah.
Is not past their wheelhouse.
Definitely not. Man, that's a lot to take in.
I love Star Wars films, dude. I mean, I read too many detective comics growing up with Batman and...
Yeah.
I mean, DC was like, okay, let's see if you can pick this out before we reveal it. That's why I love Star Wars so much. They do the exact same thing. Can we shock and awe you before you figure it out?
I'll find it there.
Looks like Cody has found the Star Wars Shattered Empire trade paperback.
You display it downstairs.
The what?
It was on display downstairs.
I love that. So too, that's my favorite non-movie Star Wars story. Because Return of the Jedi was my favorite one as a kid because I was 9 years old when it came out. And we got Ewoks that are supposed to be like little short sawed-off Wookiees jumping around like knocking biker scouts, which I thought were the cool scout troopers.
Setting up traps here and there.
Yep.
Yeah,
tripping scout walkers with like little
pieces
of twine.
Yes, it was a trap.
It was a trap. An Admiral Akbar, it's a trap.
Well, there she is with the... She's not really unfamiliar with being dressed as an Imperial person.
They taught her to be a spy. And that's what I was kind of getting out of that story.
Which, if she were to, quote-unquote, die, she could easily just...
That's what I'm saying,
like,
die.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I was just telling Joe, it's like that, hey, didn't Darth Vader kill Anakin Skywalker? Well, in storytelling, to, like, Luke, I'm your father.
Yeah.
Now, let me cut off your arm, and we can sit there and join in our stories of arms being cut off.
See? Luke lost a hand.
See? We're similar.
We're similar. Like so father, like son, Luke. We can rule the galaxy together. You don't need that black hoodie. Palpatine has a hoodie you could borrow.
Yeah.
We will take him out and then rule the galaxy together.
But that was his plan.
Yeah. Man, dude. I want a green lightsaber.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I thought the green lightsaber was the coolest looking green lightsaber. Coolest looking color lightsaber of the time. Mm. Is there something ringing? Does that mean? I hope not.
Yeah, what is that plane?
I think it's down there, isn't it? Because my volume's down in the office.
Yeah, mine.
It's weird.
It's very strange.
Like ghosts in here. There's been known to be downtown Glendale ghosts.
Well, it's Glendale. I've been dead down here.
Gosh, dude.
Sorry.
Man, I want to believe the store is still alive down here.
Yours is, but...
Yeah?
They're in some kind of research place.
That doesn't look like anything on... where they say it was? On Yavin? What'd they say?
The Jedi Temple?
This is on a...
That's not on Yavin, as far as I know.
No, it's on Coruscant.
Isn't that one of the Emperor's chambers they're going to get into?
Well, that's the Senate.
Yeah, the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go in.
So, Wikipedia writer, where'd they get that information from? There's the trees.
Yeah. And then they run out. Luke starts handling stormtroopers like.
And how Luke knew about him, I'm not sure. But he got some intelligence.
Because
he didn't even tell Shara what they were doing. It's like, we're going in to get something that's ours.
Yeah, because he even says, like, what makes these so special? Don't let them drop. What's up, girl?
The wonderful Miss Michaela Brown, the daughter.
The daughter of the infamous Ken.
Yes, he's here. You remember reading the story, Kayla?
Yes.
Shattered Empire? Tell me the facts, hon. Tell us so. Give us the 411.
It's a lot of thermal detonators.
The Jedi trees. What's the deal? Tell me about Shara Bray.
Oh, they returned to Yavin.
Yeah, Yavin 4 is where they planted the tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they... Those two took
But it did say that they got it from a Jedi get temple. It.
Oh, they,
yeah, that was weird.
I don't think that was from a Jedi temple. That was from Emperor's chambers. That's a little sneak peek at Princess Leia at the end there.
Yeah, I know. I flipped to it. I was like, well, I don't remember this story being in Shattered Empire. And then I realized I didn't go far enough up.
That's the beautiful Terry Dodson's artwork.
Yeah, it is. Y-Wing is the second worst plane you could have in Star Wars.
Oh, was it a Y-Wing? I thought she had an A-Wing.
She has an A-Wing, but there's a fleet of Y-Wings.
Oh, dude, Y-Wings are horrible looking. I don't know how those things get over 50 miles per hour.
Well, you know.
Magic.
Magic and space.
I'm going to do aerodynamics on those. I wonder what those in our Air Force.
Soon.
We need Y-Wings in the Air Force soon? Do this guy. This guy? Yeah. I think he's a troll. I think he's trolling the Rebellion. Because he's the one that convinces Shara to retire and go and raise a family with their husband away from all of the war or the post-war stuff that may be happening politically with the Rebellion. But yet he hung around long enough to be part of Poe's squadron over the years.
Maybe you owed Poe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well,
love the biker scouts. Those guys are so badass looking.
Unless you get, caught by a Wookiee.
That's true. But you know what that reminds me of? Remember the freeway camps?
Yeah.
That sit on the freeway and take your picture when you're going too fast? That's totally a biker scout helmet. They took those
The
biker scouts.
Yeah.
Put them on the freeway. I feel like I'm getting stopped by a speeder bike every time I pass one. So much fun.
Force action from Leia. See in the past. Naboo fighters. Blech.
Yeah.
Almost as bad as cloud cars.
Oh, dude, cloud cars, man. Those are about as bad. It's like the Grabber Orange GTOs from the 1970s. No disrespect to GTO fans, but don't judge me. Pontiac judge. I get it. GTO.
So funny. So specific. That's funny.
Pretty terrible.
I get plenty sometimes.
So is this guy.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They rolled deep right in there and take some trees. And Luke goes, like I said, goes all out for these kids.
So here's my new theory now after all this now. Is the force an allergy from the tree pollen?
I don't know if it's an allergy.
Could be. You know, your body does strange things.
Allergies
like
are
when
terrible.
Yeah, but the force could
it's
be the good allergy.
It's a positive allergy?
Positive allergy.
I don't know if...
You know, like you can control things. Like can make people choke. Isn't that like, you know, an allergy? You choke on things you're allergic to?
Wouldn't you have to be around it all the time, though?
Right? Well, Darth Vader's got the perfect, how would you say, mastery of this allergy called the force, where he doesn't even be near you, and he uses the force, and you start getting allergic reactions like choking and suffocating.
So,
and I bet you he
can
cause the hives on
you. Cause allergies then.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not an allergy.
That's if you know how to control the force.
Otherwise,
you
die.
You could start sneezing and not know the force is what's causing that sneezing. But if you could master your force allergy, like you can sit there and learn how to meditate and not let that sinus infection bug you.
A whole religion built around something that just you take an antihistamine and just.
Exactly, dude.
But this is in a time. Long ago in a place far, far away.
Medicine wasn't discovered yet.
We have medical droids. We don't have.
We can rebuild prosthetic. We can make prosthetic hands.
Yeah.
The whole healing process was dipping you in water for 14 hours, and you felt better afterwards. All right, Luke Skywalker was put in a water tank.
So they have the technology of.
Well, I mean.
What can we do? Put him in hot water. He'll feel better in about 14 hours.
I think that was to recuperate him a little faster, because like he was kind of, you know, beat up.
Exactly.
He was like. Glass cuts and missing a hand. A little bit of wind burn from hanging down off that reverse satellite off of Cloud City.
Nothing boiling water won't disinfect for you.
That's what I'm saying.
The Starship Troopers in the same universe as Star Wars.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Much, yes,
yeah.
Dude.
I mean, that's where they got
both
it from.
Have the same technology.
Yeah, as long as you're talking about the movie.
Yeah, I'm talking about the movie. Yeah, not the book or anything.
Book, they just let you die. They're just like,
exactly.
Like, oh no. No, you're going to die.
You got a paper cut? No, yep. He's dead.
Thank God those roaches didn't land on Earth. Good God, it was bad if we got the small roaches. Those giant freaking eucalyptus roaches flying over the hills.
Those are the small ones.
Oh my gosh, dude. Mm.
Stay.
I'm glad that egg didn't find its way to Earth.
Well, it got worse.
Man, it was Starship Troopers. Those guys are scary.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like those aliens. Do not like swarms of roaches coming over hills.
We're doing a sequel, right?
Are they finally?
Yeah. They're doing a CG sequel.
CG sequel.
Oh, yeah. CGI?
Yep. It looks really good.
Is it going to have humans in it, or are everybody going to be CGI?
It's all CGI, the whole thing. No. Just like Pixar style.
That's cool.
Well, hopefully not Pixar style.
It'd well, really I mean, not Pixar style, but, you know, fully CG'd.
So it's going to be a CGI Denise Richards in it?
No, but they did at the end of the trailer. They say Dez.
Dez.
Oh, Dez is going to be it then?
No, all you see is a hand and stuff. So I'm like, it's like a sequel, but like a prequel in a way too, because it's like takes place.
Weekend at Dez's.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Weekend at Dez's.
There's no Weekend at Dez's in half a body.
It's like dragging her around. Oh, look, she can fall, still fine.
No, she's fine.
Throw out the aliens.
She's very active.
Yeah.
Gross. Gosh,
that reminds me of like the Flintstones Booster Gold crossover. Did you read that?
No.
No, I didn't even know that happened.
Oh, my gosh,
that's awful.
It is awful.
Yeah. No, I refused. The Wacky Racers was good, but the rest of the stuff looked terrible.
Yeah, Booster Gold accidentally killed the alien race that arrived back in Bedrock because he went back in time to try to stop the invasion of this race in the future.
Okay.
And when he lands his time machine, he kills the leader of the race of aliens that were ticked off at them in his future. And good old Booster Gold takes the body to the future, pretends that it's like a little meat puppet, and tries to, please stop attacking Earth. And the head falls off, and it's just a nightmare waiting to happen. Booster Gold, most unfortunate DC character in the DC universe.
Yeah.
He can't save anything or help anything to save his life. But he's got a Legion Ring. You're supposed to save somebody. Booster's still trying to figure out who he's trying to save and how he's going to do it.
I would say he probably needs to save himself.
Right?
Exactly.
From himself.
And all was from gambling on football. That's like the worst karma to hang around with you forever.
No, gambling's bad,
gambling
man.
Gambling on your own college football games ruined your life. Just ask Art Schleister. Let's throw out an old name there for you.
Yeah, I have no clue who that is.
Ohio State quarterback that was in prison because he had a gambling problem.
All right.
Drafted by the Baltimore Colts back in the day.
Jeez.
Got sent to prison his first season.
Like back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, Pete Rose is still free on the street.
Well, it's baseball. It's totally different.
That's true.
America's sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. America's sport.
You just don't get in the Hall of Fame, but you can run around and do all you want.
It's true. So the title of the CG movie is called Starship Troopers, Traitor of Mars. It actually features the voice acting capabilities of Casper Van Dien and Dina Meyer.
That's
so
cool.
The people, obviously, Rico and Dez.
That's awesome.
It doesn't say, I mean, obviously it takes place before the end of the first movie. Because, spoiler alert.
Everybody dies?
Dez dies in the movie.
Oh. Yeah.
That way she didn't have to be in those god-awful sequels.
Man, she got the good end of the stick on that one.
Can I don't remember that or not? She suffered pretty badly. Like the little thing bit her, and she's like, yeah! And then, like, ripped in half, like...
She'd have to be in the sequels. That's, like, one of the best rewards ever.
Well. Yeah, but I'd rather be alive.
Yeah. Maybe the sequel would have been better if she was in it, right?
Maybe.
The second was terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Could she save that movie?
Dude.
She got her box office payout for being a successful one.
Not making that movie would have been better.
Then not have that attached to her name for the rest of her career. I was in Starship Troopers 2. Weren't you?
Did she do anything?
Was that her tagline after that?
She was in a bunch of stuff. TV shows and stuff.
I think the heard mistake was, didn't she marry George Clooney or something like that? No, who'd she marry for a while?
Would that be a mistake to marry George Clooney? Married an Italian princess.
That's true. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, who was it that she married that kind of was a little bit screwed in the head?
Anybody in Hollywood?
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a far stretch.
Yeah. Was one of Charlie Sheen's many wives?
Oh, that was What's Your Face. So this is what it's like the.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Looks better than the original.
Yeah.
Wow. That looks unbelievable, dude. That's what Halo should look like.
They actually have their battle armor like they're supposed to have.
Wow.
So he has an eye patch. So I'm not too sure when this takes place.
Nick Fury got the movie?
But that's right. Rico.
That's Rico.
Right there.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
That looks great, dude. I gotta say, that is some sick animation.
Yep.
Or CGI.
It looks fantastic.
That's how Halo should look if they get a movie out. Is there ever gonna be a Halo movie, or are we just like dreaming still?
Dreaming still.
Yeah.
That's like a property that is destined to be a movie, but what are they waiting for?
Way too expensive. So back in the day, Peter Jackson got with Microsoft and. I can't remember who it was, the main company that was going to do it, but they were going to get together to do it. Well, the budget they set out to do was $150 million, wow. The budget to make the movie.
They think they'd make that back in the box office?
That's not the problem. So they were gung-ho. Then they started early pre-production, getting script in line, getting people, doing tests to how much it would cost, and the budget ended up ballooning to over $300 million.
Wow.
So they said...
Over budget?
We're going to call quits on this. So... Just everyone go
but
home.
$300 million is still not that much in the big picture of things. Don't you think you can make $300 million?
But
after DVD sales and video game tie-in stuff?
Name one
stuff?
Good video game adaption that came in a movie. Don't worry, I'll give you your time.
Okay, Resident Evil?
No.
Tomb
those
Raider?
Are terrible movies.
But they still made money.
No, not enough.
Really? Resident Evil or Tomb Raider? They went like three or four movies of Resident Evil, didn't they?
Resident Evil went five movies,
yeah.
And they still didn't get it right. Fans of the franchise still don't like those movies.
But they made money at the box office to keep on going more.
Yeah, but that means they strayed away from the concept. So if you did that with Halo, do you want to stray away from the content? Because then you're not doing what the fans want.
Well, that's kind of happened with X-Men, and they've done like six movies.
Yeah, but look at what the X-Men series did.
I know, but they keep on making more because people go see them.
Yeah, because that's why we have Fast and Furious movies still.
Yeah, they're not good, but people go see them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Ken.
But
name one good video game to movie adaptation.
Yeah, but
name
that's
a good
though.
One.
People don't expect them to be good. They just want to go see them.
Yeah, but fans...
Like Doom.
But fans
like, was
want...
Doom any good?
No.
Yeah, I said The Rock. That's like his one flop, right? Well, about 50
no.
flops.
No, that was...
No. I've ever seen Tooth Fairy.
Isn't Doom right up
game
there with
plan?
Tooth Fairy?
Yeah. I'd rather watch Doom.
Yeah, dude.
He's Carl Urban's in that.
That's true.
But, gosh, dude, there hasn't been one about Ghost in the Shell. That's not a video game. That's a manga.
Yeah, it was manga.
My apologies.
And that actually off. Didn't do that
Alone
well.
In the Dark? What? I didn't see it, but I remember. It?
No, Alone in the Dark was terrible.
Was that terrible?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to remember.
See, dude.
I heard Max Payne was terrible.
Max Payne was terrible.
Wing Commander?
Wing Commander was terrible.
That's a guilty pleasure of mine, so.
We've watched that on
Torture Silent Theater. Hill?
Silent Hill, but it didn't
Silent
do well.
Hill. Didn't
what?
Do well?
It didn't do well.
But it was a good movie.
I loved the first one. Second one was terrible.
Okay.
Jon Snow ruined that.
How come there's been a Metal Gear movie?
Because dude doesn't want to make a movie out of it.
Yeah, dude.
You can't tell me you didn't like Mario Brothers.
Oh, I can definitely tell you didn't like Mario Brothers. I can play you the episode where we watched it.
I know.
And literally forgot how terrible that movie actually was.
And is there no way to make a Final Fantasy live-action movie?
No, they tried CG. Those ones were decent, but they, again, went away so far away from the actual content. People were like, this isn't, how can you call this Final Fantasy? Like, yeah. It's so different.
It's because there's like 26 different levels per game type of thing.
Well, yeah. That's the problem is with the length of a video game compared to the actual story in a video game is drastically different. You play 26 hours of Final Fantasy, the story is 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, it's hard. Now you have to stretch a 15-minute long plot for 2 hours, or hour and a half to 2 hours.
Too much dialogue. Just,
yeah, you have to make it up. That's the thing. And the same with any, like with Mario Brothers. Like there's no plot for Mario Brothers.
No.
Like not one you can make a movie out of. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like
you can't really do Mario Brothers. Like maybe a TV show or cartoon for about.
Yeah, just because all you do is like have the adventures of Mario. There's no real plot to it. You can't really build a.
You've got plumbing problems. Mario's here to save the day.
Yeah. It's like, come on, like.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, so like.
You have crocodiles in your sewers? Mario will be here to save you.
I mean, they're turtles, technically.
I know, say like that, just new story plots. You know, if they're going to do seasons of this, you got to get some new animals down those sewers.
I mean.
Killer bunnies! Mario will be there for you.
What about it?
Pokemon
movie?
Game. Movie.
Technically, cartoon series first, then video game.
Yeah.
The best video game concept movie that wasn't a video game, I thought, was Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Because that felt like a video game when you were watching it.
Yeah, or Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Because that technically was video games.
What was the one with the Pac-Man cars?
Oh, that was the one
Adam
with
Sandler movie?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that actually was really funny.
That was a fun movie to watch.
I enjoyed that movie a lot.
I thought I would hate that one. That was one of the better movies.
I didn't see it in theaters because the trailers looked terrible.
Well, unfortunately, I did go see it in the theater.
Pixels.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. Hmm. It was one of the last movies I watched with my dad.
Mm-hmm. Pixels?
Yeah.
That was Prince of Persia movie. I never saw it.
I enjoyed it, but again, it didn't do well because it's one of those period pieces where like it doesn't really do well if it's like action. And I said period pieces again. I know. But again, no blood. What's up?
Oh jeez.
Right. Right. That was a joke from earlier today. I feel bad I even said that again. But no, it's one of those things where it's like it's action and people are just like. It's so, the diehard fans of the series were like, I guess it was okay, but it was so, again, different. I mean, I don't know what they expect. These people never have any issues.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds movie.
Angry Birds actually was really funny and super dirty. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, it did $349 million.
Wow.
Box office.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That was successful.
Yeah, that's like about the cost they spent on Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Angry Birds. I mean, I'm going to go see Halo. I'm going to say Angry Birds. I would say 99.9 of the 100 people want to go see Halo before going to see Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah.
But okay,
I did watch Angry Birds, and Angry Birds was pretty funny.
Yeah, Angry Birds was hilarious.
Warcraft made 400.
Oh, World of Warcraft.
I loved Warcraft.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
Warcraft was fantastic. Like
that but that was, if I'm reading this right, Rotten Tomatoes was a 28%.
Yeah, they always do terrible when it comes to the ratings, and that's again, the press is what studios look at before they actually look at money and fanfare. Yeah,
so Angry Birds had a 44%. It looks like the next one is Resident Evil: The Final Chapter had a 35% rating, and that one took in $312 million.
So there'll be another $300 million movie.
Yeah.
Because if they pay for themselves, that's what they want to see, and then hope they build up
that
audience.
Well, you need to double your budget.
Double your budget on them?
That's usually how do you get a sequel?
Oh.
And with Resident Evil,
so they Transformers kept on doubling their budgets.
Well, I mean, granted, yes, the last one didn't do as well as they're hoping, but it still did more than what it needed to.
I don't know what to think about this new one. Speaking of Transformers, I mean, Optimus Prime being an infected bad guy, what's going on? You get hit, like, bit by the Crimson, or what is going on there?
I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where, like, you can't base this on anything else, because at this point they're just like, oh, another thing where you like where Cybertron's coming to where Earth's at. I'm like, we just did this. Two movies ago, we did the exact same thing.
And it's another movie where it's like, oh, there's this old band of Transformers that have been here for ages. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, dude, I think we looked at that red stick that wiped our minds, and Shia LaBeouf never played in Transformers movies, or.
I would have thought we were better off without Shia LaBeouf in those movies, but Mark Wahlberg is terrible in those movies. I don't know what I don't know, like, in the first movie he was in, so the last one, he didn't, like, he just makes me so mad. And then, like, they build up this, like, strong female character, and then she gets a boyfriend, and she becomes the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, that makes no sense. Here. And in this movie, he's got Michael Bay hair.
Yes.
And he's, like, shooting guns, and I don't know. You need to not focus on the squishy people and more on the giant robots.
And why does Michael Bay have this fetish with Megan Fox looking girls? It's Megan Fox looking girls, but at the same time, it's like, does everybody in the Transformers universe look like Megan Fox that have to be the co-star type of thing?
If you want people to buy tickets, you have pretty girls.
Yeah, but isn't there like a diversity? Like, isn't there like a blonde or redhead that shows up in these movies at all?
There's a blonde on the last one.
Wasn't she like
his daughter was blonde.
Like a bleach blonde, though?
No.
No.
Is natural blonde on that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought she looked very Megan Foxious.
No, not at all. I mean, she was young and attractive and had hair, and she was a female. So in those cases, yes, she looked amazing.
She was pretty too.
Yeah, she's no Jennifer's body,
right? Wasn't this the? Isn't this the next movie that all those like?
No, it's not.
No, that's not.
No, that's not this movie. So last year they was announced they're building a writers team for future Transformers movies, and Robert Kirkman is on that.
Right,
Kirkman's gonna be on this.
Yeah,
is that for real? Like, not like some guy with a name, Kirkman.
Even officially, put it on his Twitter. He's like, wow. Hey guys, I'm gonna start writing Transformers movies. We're like,
because I'm bored. What's his reason?
What else are you gonna do?
He's doing Outcast, Walking Dead TV series.
He hasn't actually read the TV show anymore.
Wow. To do Transformers movies. He must really be a big Transformers fan. I didn't know he was that big of a Transformers fan.
Yeah.
Can he do G.I. Joe instead?
No, because look how good those did.
That's what I'm saying. He needs to save them. Transformers, you know, at least has got something going for it.
They need to make G.I. Joe a war movie.
Yes. Right? Like, why don't you have, like, you can see, like, him writing Duke like he's Rick.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you ever watch the Warren Ellis animated one? Warren Ellis wrote an animated
G.I. Joe. That was epic. That was the best stuff.
That's what it needs to be.
Snake Eyes blowing up cobras on bridges and stuff like that? Or those
Dr. docks? Mindbender showing up dead with his mouth stuffed with a note on the pit, which was the...
G.I. Joe Resolute, right?
Yeah, that was so
freaking awesome. It was my favorite G.I. Joe stuff since the original amazing. Cartoons.
And I thought they were coming back with that, and nope, just that.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing. Then they actually...
I think it was too violent for kids. They didn't like it after that point. No, dude, that's like, let's have it aimed towards us.
Yeah.
Well, that's who grew up with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're mature. We want that.
Call it PG-13 G.I. Joe. You know, that's what we want to watch.
When we had this discussion earlier, like...
Sigma 6, go target the kids.
It's so easy to get a PG-13 rating now on something. Other than just not having really bad words in it, or someone's guts spilling out, or genitalia, you can get a PG-13. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman
murdered people on camera with PG-13. A sword.
Yeah.
PG-13. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new Pirates movie?
No.
Dude, literally people getting gutted on screen, but you
so
don't see PG-13? Blood? PG-13.
Because it's like black oil looking?
No, because they just don't show it. So it's just like a camera angle off, and you're like,
the first time a ship gets attacked by the Ghost Pirates... The main character is in, not Jack Sparrow, but the other main character for this one, is in a prison cell in the hull of the boat, and visual blood is dripping down. He puts his hand out, and you see red blood hit his hand.
Wow.
That is blood on camera.
That's PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get PG-13 rated now. You could easily do a Saving Private Ryan war movie style thing, PG-13, called G.I. Joe.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Easily do it. Easily.
Yeah, because I said too, like, I'm a huge G.I. Joe nut. I mean, I didn't mind the first two ones, even with The Rock and...
I didn't either.
Yeah, Bruce Willis was good in the second one even. I mean, it's maybe I'm just like too simple because I see G.I. Joe in film and I want to see like Ray Park in a Snake Eyes outfit.
Of course.
You know, just more or less taking
as
out
as long as they don't have
sight.
A plastic mouth. Yeah.
I mean, it did bother me that he was wearing like a snowsuit, wearing like, you know, snow jobs, white, you know, little looking get up without the skis and just kind of going on a little snow sled thing and going into the middle of the ice rock.
If you let G.I. Joe go too far, they always have their fun little vehicles and outfits.
Yeah.
Just like Batman has weird outfits all the time and toys.
The fun part about G.I. Joe, though, too, is all these things you don't see in the military because it's all top secret.
It's all fantastical stuff,
But if they could get like a real hardcore, well-written G.I. Joe, dude, those characters all have personalities.
Yeah.
And they're like the X-Men, the Avengers, just like Walking Dead character crews. I mean, anything that's a good core character, if you get the right writers, they could have a franchise.
It could be fantastic,
But it's a kid's cartoon, and we don't want to really promote kids' cartoons focused on war.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do it a smart way and, you know, bring it out. I mean, it, I don't know, it's those things, like, you look at them, you're like, it can't be that difficult to bring them to screen.
No, Snake Eyes origin movie with Zartan and Firefly and Storm Shadow.
Like, it shouldn't be that hard. Like,
yeah, that'd be a great movie.
But it's just, they bring it out, and it's, like, and it's goofy, and you're like, it just, because they're like, well, the cartoon was goofy. I'm like, the cartoon was made to sell toys.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can bring that into a serious thing, and all it really is, it's a war movie with the names of the characters from the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it has to be.
Dude, Deadpool was created to be goofy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They know it's one of their most successful superhero movies.
And look what happens. You come out.
And it was rated R.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, let's set a precedent for Wolverine being a rated R
movie. I mean, look what they did. They took, like, Fox is really good at it. They take things and they just take a name and they're just like, oh, fans like Venom, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll make a Venom. And then that Venom that we see on screen was terrible.
Yeah. If they made Venom a rated R movie, I hate saying it, that would be freaking badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, nowadays, you don't even have to have it make it rated R.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Because if it's
versus Predator movie, it would be like Venom versus Carnage.
Like, you don't, it wouldn't even have to be, it would actually be not rated R unless he eviscerated someone on screen.
Carnage would do that, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying with Venom, if he eats somebody, it would be all internal. It wouldn't be him, unless he, like, you know, pulls him apart and starts doing this, which is not a Venom way. You know,
it's like engulfs
him. You could easily get away with it not being rated R. But the problem is, you're coming to the point where if you make a Venom movie, are you going to introduce him as an anti-hero or a villain? Because it's really hard to sell a movie with just a villain.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the anti-hero. I don't know who the villain will be in that first movie.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know if that means Carnage right away or it means something else that's like kind of a, you know, someone that's got a big sonic gun, because that's what fire and sonics is what affects Venom.
Yeah.
Excuse me, is
that... So, and it's, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's hard to...
Get by force allergies.
Vader heard you talking shit about his force.
Sorry, Vader, my allergies are out of control. Yep. Please don't joke.
He's a Windows run.
Yep. He's like, I'll get him.
God, dude, that little 14-inch Vader is still tough enough to give me allergy problems.
Yep, see? There you go.
He's watching you.
You talk about shit about Vader in the forest, and guess what?
Uh-huh. Since we're on speaker and not on video, we got this, like, 16-inch Darth Vader, like, staring us down from over here in the corner on the top of the glass case.
He is staring directly at us, which is unnerving.
Sorry, Vader. If you could talk, you could be on this podcast, but right now the force has you choked up. Ha ha! We got you, Vader. Sorry, man.
That was terrible.
It was terrible.
I told you. I got bad punnies tonight.
I don't know if it was just tonight. But... Yeah, no, I mean, I always thought,
thank
like...
my daughter just turned him the opposite direction. That way he can go torment over
Silk
there.
Spectre,
Silk
Spectre,
over there, the Watchmen setup we have in here.
You have a lot of people who could be borderline villains in this room, by the way.
Yeah, Black Adam's looking kind of a little bit vicious right now, too.
And then there's Joker behind us.
With a knife?
Yeah.
That's unsettling.
Well, I call that store security up here. You know, if you have, like, scary-looking things up here, you may think twice before putting it in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. All these eyes on you. No, I mean, there's a lot of things, though. Like, Joe and I often have this talk about books being turned into movies and how they're not the greatest, because it's really hard to take the essence of a book that is so long and so in-depth and make it an hour and a half and, you know, 2 hours and keep the what everyone likes about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why things like a Game of Thrones works really well as a TV show.
Yes.
Because you can
spread
that plot, those plots out, so you build it, and like you do in a book from chapter to chapter. And there's books out there you can easily make into a movie. It's not a problem. You know, Jurassic Park, for example. easily can be made into a book, into a movie.
The James Bond franchises were books
yeah.
first.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, there's things like that. But when you come to like content like Star Wars, there's so much that goes into a Star Wars movie. That's why it spills out into comic books and all these other books, because there's so much. Instead of just trying to do it all in one, like, there's a reason there was an expanded universe before expanded universes were a thing. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, yo, like, we have all these ideas, like, we could do from these characters and things like that. But, like, with G.I. Joe and other content like that, like, I'll even use He-Man for as an example, too. You can write a story that doesn't have a beginning or an end that takes place in that universe. You don't have to have an end and a beginning to do it.
Yes, you can kind of just have it develop.
They could
grow.
Be, yeah, they could be an existing thing already, and it's just a encapsulated adventure of the G.I. Joes at that one point, and then.
Dude, G.I. Joe would work perfect as a Netflix or a Hulu show.
Of course it would. I mean, because it's just making a live action. Yeah.
Like that. I would love to see the early days of Cobra Rising. Yeah, they like gloss over that so fast inside the movies. Oh, Cobra Commander was, you know, left behind by Duke in this whole blowing up thing because he felt butthurt because Duke didn't come back and check that he was okay.
Even though technically he should have been mindbender.
Cobra terrorist. Yeah, dude. And it was just
so, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like it could easily be more than what they make, but it's... They rush to get it put together, and they're just like, well, we get all these big stars who want a paycheck, and then we'll just put it together, and we expect it to work. And it's like, you watch it, it's like,
yeah,
it was fun, but, like, you didn't catch any of what I loved about the show.
Yep,
I mean, even, like, the G.I. Joe movie with, like, Sepentor and all that stuff, like, that was deep.
Oh, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes. You can't tell me that didn't... That
Globulus was the lamest cool villain I think I've ever seen.
Like it was had so much to it.
The animated one, right? You're talking about?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah, like so much to it. And
dude,
then like
Don Johnson
like,
playing Lieutenant Falcon was like Duke's nephew. No, Flint's nephew was it Duke's Flint's nephew?
Duke's nephew. Duke.
Was it Hawks, Dukes, or Flint's? I'm trying to remember. That was one of the major, the top three's nephew. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's like and you have that.
Or whatever, something like
and
that.
Like I even said like after I think the second Transformers movie, if they just take Transformers the movie. And make it live action.
Oh, that'd be intense.
Live action, air quotes, because, I mean, most of that takes place in space with giant robots. But there are, you have the human element, because you have Spike and his kid.
Yes, you got Hot Rod, the spunky...
Yeah, which, by the way, he's in the new movie.
Is he going to be in the new movie? Hmm. Wow.
Which I have a feeling they're going to kill Prime in this.
Wow.
And he's going to become...
Hot Rod become Rodimus?
Yeah, because there was a thing on, I think it was IMDb, where the voice actor was credited as being... Hot Rod / Rodimus Prime.
Now I got a question. Why do they keep on changing the names on the toys? Like Rodimus Major? Like Rodimus Prime is Rodimus Major, right?
Sell toys.
Is that if it? You have a variant like cover, what happens?
But Rodimus Major, is that before he's Prime? Or is that
Rod? Well, like that's in the books, Optimus is back, so he's not a Prime anymore.
So that's why he becomes Rodimus Major then?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of like the whole... digression of like why they change the names of the characters sometimes.
Because I mean, at one point they can. I mean,
yes, that's true.
It's, I mean, why sell a Snake Eyes snow outfit toy?
It's kind of like Carol Danvers being Binnery and Miss Marvel and then Captain Marvel. It's still Carol Danvers. It's just we're taking on some different egos at this time.
Yeah, you know, it's like wrestlers. They have different names throughout their careers.
That's
just to
true.
Sell more tickets.
Oh, I just wonder about that whole thing too. Is like that because you know there was a time like that. Jazz was called Meister. Side of the Transformers toy line. I don't know, did they lose the rights to the name Jazz, or they just decided to change his name to Meister because...
Jazz too general?
Maybe.
Wasn't poppy enough?
Yeah, it wasn't poppy enough. Meister. Hey, look, this Jazz guy's now Meister.
Meister. Fair enough.
But random side plot. My apologies. What's going on Transformers there for a second?
Hey, doesn't matter.
This is what happens.
Hasbro. Yep. All right, what other Hasbro property do we want to see made into a movie?
Hasbro has, like, they have so much potential to make, even, like, if it was just, like, a like Netflix or, like, Hulu stuff, and just make millions of dollars.
They could. Mm-hmm. Mask would be a fun franchise to see made into a TV series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that. If you got good characters that are strong, lead characters, a villain and a good guy's crew, you can look at Sons of Anarchy. I mean, Sons of Anarchy is, without the transforming types of vehicles... feels a lot like Mask.
In a way. I mean, they're bad guys, but...
But like that, just the same type of formula, though. A group of characters that each have their unique place inside of their team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, almost like an Avengers type of thing. If you get the right group of people together, people will follow, want to see what's going on. Matt Tracker, what? What's called Matt Tracker? Oh, man.
It's all about building something people can grab onto with the exterior of whatever property it is you want. That's all it is. I mean, that's exactly what Marvel did. I mean, literally, we've talked about this before on the show, but Marvel took the characters nobody cared about and built their universe on top of it. Yes. Nobody cared about Thor. No. Nobody cared about Captain America. No. Like, they were dead for the most part. Iron Man. Like,
it's all about X-Men and Spider-Man. Yeah. That so was like, Marvel's comic universe.
So they're like, hey, like, we don't have the access to these, so why don't we just have what we have, and we'll just get people who are passionate about it, and we'll build on this, and we'll build this big plan, and we'll start off. If Iron Man failed to be a good movie,
that would have been it.
That would have been it. Yep. They'd be like, all right, well, we're done. Like,
yeah, thanks for trying. You know, thanks for coming.
But they believe they wanted to make that, because, like, Iron Man himself, that character needed what they did in that movie to be that flawed type of character, but there was depth to it. There's a character they can work with. And then they put him against Captain America, who's this altruistic, you know, Boy Scout, and they would butt heads, but they're both working for the same goal, and there's your plot, you know what I mean?
Well, the beauty of Iron Man 2, I think, really helped as well, is they looked at what the comic fans liked. They didn't try to redesign Iron Man to make him look like a totally bulky, different type of Iron Man that was just called Iron Man by name only. Mm-hmm. They took Eddie Granov, one of the best-looking Iron Man artists of all time, and they more or less cloned his armor onto the screen. And Robert Downey Jr. is a Tony Stark. You feel like, as a comic fan, you can relate to, came off of the page. This guy is Tony Stark.
Like, that's not like Patrick Stewart
David
was
Hasselhoff playing Nick Fury. Or
was Charles
like
Xavier. Yeah. Patrick was easy Charles Xavier.
And I think they learned a lot from that with Patrick Stewart.
Because they could
Charles
do that.
Xavier.
I mean, we've said this before on the show, too. Like, if you had told me after Iron Man 1 ended that Robert Redford would have been on camera saying Hail Hydra, I'd have slapped you in the face and called you crazy.
Yes.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
But it worked.
Yeah. Like, Robert Downey Jr. was, like, on a downside of his career.
Yes.
When he was Iron Man. And now he's one of the most recognizable people in all of the world.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And what made that happen?
He plays a douche in a metal outfit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... That's ridiculous.
But Iron Man's the one that carried him back to fame.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, dude. Did anybody really follow Hugh Jackman's career before Wolverine?
Not unless you went to plays in Australia.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like these iconic characters are giving careers to actors that were on the downside of their careers
It's because the comic books have had so much time to build those characters and develop into real. What's the thing about most people don't realize about comic books is like their actual literature.
Yes.
Their characters are as real as anything you could possibly imagine.
Yep.
Yes, they have funny powers and do random, weird, crazy stuff, but they are real characters. They have depth to them. They have history. They have emotion and feelings. If you can get that on the screen without just having the goofy outfits, X-Men, then you can have a legitimate movie franchise.
Yes.
And that's why Marvel is so many movies deep in the last 10-something years, and they're not thinking about rebooting. They're thinking of how else we can expand this, and X-Men is now getting ready to do their third reboot of their franchise in the same amount of time.
And how is it that Marvel people that act in Marvel movies turn into be like more or less superstars, as we're talking about, but then at the same time, Star Wars actors, after they're done with Star Wars, only one has been super successful, and that's Harrison Ford.
Well, that's because sci-fi has back in the day, has a worse connotation.
Okay.
Like, if you're in a sci-fi movie, it's like being in a smut film.
Like Hayden Christensen in the modern films.
Well, that's because Hayden Christensen's a terrible actor.
Okay.
That's no one's fault except for George Lucas because he has a terrible eye. Yeah. I mean, Mark Hamill's even said it.
Yes.
Mark Hamill's like, I'm not that great on camera. I'm great with my voice and emotion, but I'm never great on camera. And it took all of his effort to do what he did as Luke. But when you see him in other things, one of my favorite movies, Guyver, he's terrible. That movie is not good.
So I'm saying like that. There's just never...
They were cheap.
Okay.
It's cheap to get those people because, like, Carrie Fisher, what did she do before Star Wars?
Not that I know of. She's Debbie Reynolds' daughter. That's about
right?
It. Yeah.
There you go. So she, again, if you've seen her other things, not the best actress. No offense to Carrie Fisher. I love Carrie Fisher. She's amazing as Princess Leia, but really not a great actress. Harrison Ford, I love Harrison Ford, but he's the same person in every single movie, just either with a gun and a whip, or just a whip, or just a gun, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, he doesn't have range. Mm-hmm. Not he's either chasing an armless man or he's whipping somebody, some slave guy. You know what I mean? It's like, he's good at what he does, but he doesn't do a whole lot. Like Harrison Ford hasn't had a you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s type-esque career.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like Robert Downey had like a body of work.
Yeah, he had way more work before. And if it wasn't just the fact that he has that charismaticness to him, he wouldn't have been where he was at.
But these like other actors, like Chris Hemsworth, he's been a good actor in other movies.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that. Obviously, Chris Pratt has been a good actor in.
Because Marvel thought. I think I can't speak for what they actually thought, but I'm thinking their thought process was, "Hey, why don't we go after people who are good?"
Yeah, Fem Jeskin,
and just put them in.
I'm sorry, not Fem Jeskin. It's Scarlett Johansson. I'm thinking of Jean Grey mixed up the other way.
apologies. Like you take them, like, hey, we just have like. No one ever thought you could have a Robert Redford, you know, in there. You could never thought a, you know, a Glenn Close.
So kind of like once again bounces back to the X-Men studying that prototype of let's get good actors. I guess even further back with Blade with getting Wesley Snipes
because he fit it. Like that's the thing is like he fit that role. And no, Wesley Snipes has never been a great actor. He's a great action star,
but he fits Blade.
That's but what he Blade fits is. Blade because that's what Blade is. That's what they did. They went through it. So Marvel went through and said, hey, like. They've literally nailed every single time they've gone to get somebody. They're like,
and they're not like A-listers at the top of their industry. No. They're like
now B-listers. They are.
Yeah, but that's what Kevin Feige wanted. Like Chris Evans, for instance, too. I mean, what was he in like that?
Fantastic Four. What's up?
Yes, that's right. Fantastic Four and Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah,
do you mean those are the only two movies that you remember Chris Evans being for?
But obviously they bring him in. They don't just give him the role. They give him an audition. Like yo, like show us what you can act
because in all three movies he's a different character.
Yeah,
which blows me away. Like Not Another Teen Movie is like a goofy jock teen. And, you know, like, Human Torch. He was kind of like a ladies' man kind of jock thing, but a little bit different than the Chris Evans from Not Another Teen Movie.
And then,
Captain America, dude, those guys would never all hang out together.
No,
yeah,
I mean they're all Scott two Pilgrim. Three completely different people. Yeah, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, he's Scott Pilgrim. He plays a douche. Like he's like this douchey skateboard actor guy, and you're like,
and he's everybody's idol in Captain America. You want to be his best friend, in Captain America.
I mean, they obviously do a really good job of auditioning these people because every time they get somebody, they're amazing.
Yep, the range that they're getting out of these actors is unbelievable.
Yeah, like I truly believe that.
I mean, they made an Olsen sister popular. I mean, obviously, it wasn't one of the Olsen twins.
Well, yeah, that's why. Because you know, she
someone from the Olsen family is now like respectable again because of the Avengers movies.
I mean, it did take a third generation for it to happen, but yes.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is, that's the power Marvel had, but that's what they, I think that was their whole game plan ahead of time. They're like, you know, like, let's not rush into this. Let's plan it out. Because, I mean, it took Jon Favreau 4.5 years to make Iron Man.
Wow, I did not know that.
Like, the first movie wasn't supposed to be Iron Man. It was supposed to be Ant-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So Ant-Man was one of the original ones, and they're like, we can't do it. Like,
they're going chronologically of how the characters appear?
No, literally, it's like, Hank Pym is going to be our, like, linchpin for the Avengers. That was the whole thing. And then it's like, we just can't do it. Like, we can't narrow down what we want to do.
Yes.
And then Jon Favreau was like, well, I'm ready to go to do this. And they're like, all right, let's go into it. And then they rolled into it, and that's when they decided to make that whole thing go through, and they lined up Captain America. They lined up Thor. You know, they had a Hulk going on, unfortunately. That didn't work out because of egomaniacs,
What a fortunate accident. Can you imagine starting off with a Paul Rudd Ant-Man movie to launch the Marvel Universe?
That would have been because it would have been Scott Lang.
That's true. It would have been
Hank Pym. Hank Pym.
You're right. Dude, well, that's a good point because it would have been like more or less that retro origin story they could probably tell now of like Hank Pym's story. They can actually, now that they have everything else out of the way, they could go back and fit that movie back in again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing is like they just
Peggy Carter type of movie,
the
TV series movie,
the mini series that lasted 2 years, So that's the thing is like Marvel, they sat down, they're like, hey, well, let's learn from what happened to all our other properties out there, Punisher, Blade, X-Men. Yes, X-Men did well because we had never seen anything like that. But if you go back and watch the first few X-Men movies, they are hard to watch.
Because so much adverse.
Because we're spoiled now with what they're doing. Because even visually now, the X movies, even though I'm not a huge fan of them, visually, story, like filming wise, cinematography capabilities of it, tremendously better than what the first two were. Like it's just night and day difference.
Well, the Apocalypse, as bad as that story was.
Yeah.
I won't say it's horrible, but I did not enjoy it as much as many other people enjoyed the Apocalypse
story. But visually, it was amazing. Well, except for Apocalypse needed... That was a whole... That's a... I can go on for day hours about the, how terrible he looked, but like,
just the whole special
the characterization,
effects
yes, so good.
Oh my gosh, it was so amazing. Good. That's what I love about the Doctor Strange movie too.
Yeah,
and visually, what they did was it was like a complete mind.
Yeah, well, because they experience. They took what was in the book, like, yo, this is what obviously people like. Mm-hmm. Let's do that on camera. And we now have the ability to do it. You couldn't do a Doctor Strange movie 10 years ago.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, special effects just wouldn't be able to handle it.
Not at all. No.
And like, you probably, I don't know, how many people they must have had working on the artistic side.
Oh, so many.
Behind the scenes. There are about 1,000 people, probably.
Easily.
I mean, it's weird seeing, like, certain things. Like, people call Steve Ditko a grump because he's kind of hermitized himself over all the years. But he had to be somewhere smiling about what they did in the Doctor Strange.
Oh, easily. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because that was a lot of his visualization come to life. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved sitting next to Steve Ditko watching that movie and seeing a huge freaking grin about how much justice they did to his thought processing of what he visualized on paper into a movie.
Well, it's like with Ed Brubaker and Winter Soldier. Like,
oh,
he was in it.
Ed Brubaker was in the movie?
Yeah, he was one of the scientists that was working on Bucky.
That's cool.
So when they were redoing his arm and re-brainwashing him after the first
Brubaker
fight with Cap.
Was in that scene?
Brubaker and, I can't remember his name, the artist.
Epting,
were there, they were...
Steve Epting?
Yeah, they were the two guys in, like, that were in lab coats.
I want to watch that again because I didn't pay attention to that. I was like that, okay, Bucky's getting revived here. He's getting brainwashed
again. That's Brubaker.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And they were like, he even said like...
That's Stan Lee appearing in the movies, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. After like, hey, like, let's do this. Like, you're literally the reason we're making this movie. Because without
that's true. Because Favreau was inside of
happy.
He wrote like one of those. Well, it didn't finish. But there was an Iron Man 3-part story or 4-part story that was supposed to go on.
Yeah,
and they never finished it. Eddie Granov did the art in it too. I can't remember what was the name of that one. Remember like Viva Las Vegas, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's like you have this like. Stan Lee, obviously the father of Marvel Comics.
Yeah, Kevin Smith was in the Daredevil movie.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. You know, he wrote that stuff. Like, so Brubaker, without Brubaker's story, which if you guys, you probably know the story of it, like they didn't want to bring Bucky back. Mm-hmm. And Brubaker was at one of the Marvel retreats and said, yo, I have this story. Wamsby comes back as a super soldier, just like Steve.
But a Russian.
But he doesn't know who he is, and he's like the anti-Captain America.
Yeah, that's epic.
And they're like... Oh, yeah, okay.
Let's do
no,
it.
No, that's a way better choice. He's like, cool. And Brubaker, he's even said, that was off the cuff. Like, he literally made that up right then and there.
See, that's amazing. That's that's really super cool stuff where you love your characters.
Yeah.
Kyle Higgins going with that whole Nightwing behind, you know, the whole story of, like, behind the black and the white, there's the gray, and that's the gray sun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like the Romeo and Juliet story they tried doing to make the name. This guy's been around since 1939, and it took... up until the year 2011, 2012, for someone to come up with a cool origin of the name Grayson.
And the fact that it's not actually his real name.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That was like that's like one of those like, you know, pleasant accidents that why did anybody else stumble on this like 50 years, 75 years in?
Yeah, and it's like, and that's the thing, it was like they're doing this, but they're doing it on their own terms. And now it doesn't seem like they are because it's like so formulaic, but they made that format. That's them. That's how they do it. And I say it all the time, and I compare other comic book style movies to it. And we did it today about when we're talking about Wonder Woman and stuff. Is like you now fall in this rhythm where you expect to see things done like stinger scenes or Easter eggs that are in it, you know, and stuff. And you just like he brought up a fun point. Is like DC doesn't have to.
Yes,
they're doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. They don't have to. And like I agree with that. But as like me, I'm like I kind of want to see it, but I don't want to say he's not right, but he is right. But I don't want him to be right because I want that.
Because themselves with them.
My point with that was that DC is building out their universes within the movies, while Marvel, yes, I will admit a little bit to Cody that Marvel does it a little bit within their movies, but for the most part, they link their movies together in those stinger scenes.
So the movies are. Individual
things,
and then the scenes in between are what link Captain America to Iron Man or Iron Man to Hulk, whatever it is. What he's saying is the Wonder Woman, the movie itself, is linking her to the DCEU because who she is. And Batman v Superman did the same thing. It was like that movie brought those three main characters together, And you don't need that after sequence to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, Wonder Woman. You know, I mean, yes. She was in the movie. They didn't have to do just Batman, Superman, and then at the end, during the credits, be like, oh, by the way, he's a super hot lady who beats people up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They introduced her. And I think one of the most, like, bland ways possible, because there's like, yo, she can fight, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that was my favorite part of that movie. Because, like, she comes out and you're like, all right, cool, what's she going to do? And she just punches that giant monster in the face. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, she looked like him, but she got long hair and she a lady.
Yes.
This is different. So, and then what his point was is, like, in Wonder Woman, they don't need, other than just to tell you the way it starts is like, hey, like, you know, Wayne Enterprises shows up, drops off this old-ass photo, and that then ties this movie to what we saw before, because that what the photo that we saw digitized on his computer, he tracked down the real one using all of his enormous
connections
and power and money, and the fact that he'll just literally punch the teeth out of your face if he doesn't get it from you, and got her that photo, and then asks her maybe someday you'll tell me the real story behind
that
this.
Was seamless how they put that
and then there. Boom, you jump into the story. And the cool thing, it wasn't like a, hey, by the way, now we're just going to jump right into the war. They go to Themyscira and boom.
Going back to her childhood.
Yeah. And it's like,
this desire to be this great warrior.
That was straight out of a comic book.
That was awesome.
Like, I expected someone to go, like, she goes, oh, look in the picture. And someone go, turn the page. And you hear the page turn. Like, that's literally what I expected to see.
That's
like,
some little storytelling.
Yeah.
It's a perfect storytell element.
And the way, and it's genius because you can watch Wonder Woman without ever having to see Man of Steel or Batman v Superman and never having to watch Justice League, and you aren't going to miss anything. Granted, you don't see Batman or Bruce Wayne handing her the photo, but you see what little you need to is like this courier, even if you don't, if you can find someone who doesn't know Wayne Enterprises is, and you have this courier give this photo, this briefcase with a photo to her and the letter saying, hey, I found the original, maybe one day you'll tell me the story. You don't need to know anything else.
Yep.
And you get to learn the story of Wonder Woman. Granted, it's the bonus is you see her at the end of the movie, and then you realize, oh, that badass lady who killed a god on an airport in West Germany is this lady who punched that monster in the face to save Batman and Superman.
Yep.
It just adds to it, but you literally cannot... You don't need to watch anything
else. It's a standalone movie.
Yeah.
Do you mean it's like that? It's perfect either part of the story or it's like a Lego piece.
Yeah.
Do you mean that Lego piece has got all the definition? It needs to be a Lego piece by itself. But what you build it onto something that is part of a beautiful...
It just makes it that much better.
Yeah. Whatever artistic piece you're trying to make with it, it fits in perfect with or without being part of that Lego set.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is like if you look at... Well, take like Captain America's Civil War, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't have... tension that's in that with all those other movies, right? It just, it's a shame, but that's where it works.
It's not standalone. You can't have
a Winter Soldier, you can't do that either. It's not a standalone movie. Iron Man 2 can't have what happens in Iron Man 2 not because of Iron Man 1 and Hulk. You can't have it. But I believe Wonder Woman, you literally could take someone who doesn't know anything about any of it, have them watch it, and they'll be like, yo,
that was good.
That was so good. Like, I don't know who this lady is, but man,
that is like
I don't want to be her mad at me. You know what I mean? Like,
you could be an alien from space, not knowing anything about DC Universe, Marvel Universe, or anything. Sit down and watch that movie, and you would like,
click
wow,
clack.
That
lady's badass.
That was cool. I was entertained.
Yeah, for sure. And like,
and you understand everything about the character. You need to know about it.
I envy. I'm never gonna say this out loud again. I envy kids nowadays, people Kayla's age, because they have the opportunity. She's a little more ruined because of you and having all your around her all the time. She knows the vast history.
Her
parents would be like, oh, well, we're going to see this Wonder Woman movie. And she knows nothing about it. And her mind will literally melt.
Yes.
Watching it. And then that joy, like, if somehow she doesn't enjoy it, but if she does, it would just open her up this new world that you and I and Joe have been deep in since we were younger than Kayla, for two of us, not so much Joe.
Yeah.
But, like, that'd be like being able to be young and seeing Star Wars for the first time before anybody else. Like, going to the theater in 1977 and seeing Star Wars.
With, like, you have no concept of what's going to happen. You
no
have,
idea.
You have no idea what's coming at you.
I would love, I mean, if you could give me one day a time machine and be able to wipe my brain of anything I know of Star Wars.
The Men in Black thing.
Yep, send me back, and I could just experience it for the first time.
That'd be unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
Yes.
Mind-blowing. And I
think we get kind of spoiled because of how far movies have come.
Like, yeah.
We could go back, and if you've never seen Star Wars, if you're, like, from, you know...
A rock?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
If giant you, once again, block of ice.
You're that kid that's 6 years old, and you have no concept of what anything is, and you get to sit there and watch Star Wars again for the first time. Like, you haven't seen it yet. How awesome is that to the six-year-old brain?
Yep.
To us, like, we've seen everything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us in our 40s, some of us in our 30s, however old we are. It's like we're desensitized to it.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. There's Star Wars is boring to us now.
Because there's very few everything things else
that's come after it.
Yeah. There's very few things that happen in movies and stuff nowadays that are really that impressive. And we last week's episode, when this comes out, I don't know, but one of the past episodes we did on Neil Blomkamp.
Okay.
Who did District 9, Elysium, Chappie, who was supposed to do Aliens 5. It was also actually supposed to do Halo, by the way.
Yeah.
I love District 9, dude. I don't know what it was, but I really enjoyed that.
Because it was so different, but it wasn't. That's what we even talked about. It's different enough where you're like, oh, that's actually really cool, but it's not original. Mm-hmm. It is, but it's not. Like, it's hard. I know it's weird to say, but it's original enough where you feel it's so different and you've never seen it before. But if after you watch it and then you look at other things, you're like, oh, this is kind of where you get the idea for this. This is where you kind of get the idea for this. This is where this came from. I kind of get this now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you – like I remember my brother and I, we went to go see it. We had no idea what it was. We were bored one day. We both had a shared day off. And we're like, hey, it's a sci-fi movie. Let's go see this. You know, what is it?
And with racial stereotypes at the most ultimate.
It was right? Like, it's and almost you, like an you X-Men. Watch it and you're just like – we watched it. We're like – how is no one talking about this?
Uh-huh, I know.
Why is there four people in here?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was like Thursday afternoon or something, and I was like, we're just like, it was phenomenal. Like, what the hell? Like, happened just now? Like, you know? And then like, obviously, it blew up and became huge because it made millions of dollars over what they ever thought it was going to make. I mean, it literally made 100 times more than what it cost
Star
to
Wars
make.
It was a cult classic they never followed up on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like it could have been a major franchise, but. It was such a good standalone movie in its own way. They didn't need to follow up on it in their own eyes or something.
He's actually going to make a sequel now. But
is he good? So yeah, I was going to say that movie was such a great look at aliens invading Earth, but then not.
But it was.
Invading.
But yeah, and this thing is like it was. You that's know, like almost like, the.
They got repressed because it's they like were a from secondary. A different, yeah,
it's like a secondary plot of that movie is the fact that they're an alien race on our planet. It's just because it comes in and again. It comes that thing where like it wasn't. The movie wasn't about the aliens showing up.
Oh, it's about
we
how
came
we
in; they were
them.
Already there. They've been there for years, and the world's already adapted to it.
Yes,
and we just treated them like the worst scum on the planet.
Exactly, it was like the exact opposite of how everybody visualizes aliens coming in, and we should be afraid of them.
Yep,
they're going to take us over. But then we just kind of treat them like they're Native Americans back during the Revolutionary War.
We put them in camps,
you know what I mean? Before the Revolutionary War, it's like that. Yeah. Oh, you know, this is our area. It's like we're humanity. Well, there's nothing that can overconquer us.
And what I'm saying is, it's so hard nowadays. I feel bad for filmmakers nowadays that are trying to make those big movies.
Yes.
That, I mean, there's tons of filmmakers that make small movies, but obviously, like, my cousin, we've talked about on the show before. But, like, I feel bad for people trying to make a next thing that would be Star Wars without being an established name already and, like, taking something and making it because people are going to compare you to what's there already. But if you're not original enough... when you take that, it's gonna fall flat because people are like, seen it already, I don't wanna see it. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy to think about, like now it's so hard to surprise us with anything that it's hard to see anything original because
I'm trying to think if there's anything that's just popped out is like, ooh, I wanna see more of this type of story. Trying to think of like if there's anything that's really kind of caught our imagination over the
not
years.
I mean
I want to say Avatar, but Avatar put me to sleep. I hate saying it. It's great.
It's some people don't
Avatar
enjoy it. Yeah, I mean with things with Avatar was my like it broke a lot of the preconceptions of what it should have been, and it truly was a a Native American, in like American type story,
yes.
just happened to be with blue cat creatures on a distant planet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was no, again,
Avatar kind of had similar elements.
Yeah,
to it.
It wasn't an original story,
yeah.
but it was an original take on a story.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you had, obviously, Indians never bonded with pterodactyl creatures.
Yes, true. Too, yeah.
And lived in a giant tree. Obviously, that was extrapolated from somewhere else, but the basic story is that's exactly what it was.
Like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, you know, we just don't have that, and I feel that I want more of that, but I just know it's so hard to do because there's really not
like
any new
Rings
stories to tell.
Maybe had a similar effect to it.
You in know, a
like
way,
that
but see the
to see like that, you know, a franchise that people fell in love with and just kept on going
and brought to life exactly,
yeah.
And you know, and it's funny because Joe, years after seeing the movies, went back and read The Hobbit, right? Did
yeah,
you read all of them?
I started with The Hobbit
yeah.
and went all the way through The Lord of the Rings.
And
yeah,
realized, like, guess. Oh, no, this is, like, one of those things where, like, the movies are actually better because the books have so much weird random shit in it that you don't need.
Yeah, so it's just, like,
yeah.
extra fluff.
Yeah, it's, like, and there's parts of it that are so boring.
Yeah, because, like, Star Wars was an original movie idea that had nothing else behind it except George Lucas wanting to make this movie.
Sort of.
I know, like, there's that. Obviously, it's based a little bit off of
Hidden Castle, but we're not going to say
Castle.
It like that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, again, that's the thing. Was, like, nowadays, I mean, and I say nowadays, years ago, it's so hard to find something that's original that's never been done versus just taking something and putting a different light on it. Taking a boy meets a girl story and putting it in a different environment, but introducing slightly different things to make it feel different, but you're more familiar with it. Avatar has that. The problem with Avatar is it's, like, way too fucking long for most people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's super long for a movie.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's so long. But when you look at Star Wars, like, back in the day, what made it capture everyone's imaginations is not everyone has seen Japanese cinema.
That's true.
No one has seen a Kurosawa movie here in America that many, right?
Yes.
So it felt original, even though you knew the story. Like, the story is not that different from anything else. It's a big bad force being taken on by a small good force, and then small good force ends up winning.
It's like House of Cards was not an American
Yeah,
Netflix show.
Yeah,
it was based
not,
off of
yeah.
like an English parliament.
So it's just
story.
Taking
what,
something
was
the name
that and it was based off of.
And, yeah, I can't remember. What
so
it's
called, like something
yeah.
like that where we're not familiar with it.
Yeah,
but it's good somewhere else.
Yeah, and all they did is take that story and they adapted it to our environment that mm-hmm. we're in, so we feel familiar with what's going on. You know, backstabbing politicians
mm-hmm.
who murder aides when they do something they don't want.
Yes,
and are terrible people, but help people. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. It's like that. What's the?
He helps more than he kills.
They're like anti-heroes.
You know what
again.
I'm talking about.
The Punisher?
No.
He helps more than he kills.
Yeah. He more than he.
Frank Underwood.
He
what?
He helps more about? Than he. It's a Dave Chappelle joke.
Okay.
And where he talks about a superhero. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay. It's a very dirty, very bad thing. I don't want to talk about in front of someone who's in the room.
Okay.
Yes, you.
Okay.
but it's. It's taking something that people love and putting something they haven't, like, wrapping it in a different outside they haven't
plus
seen.
Plus the unknown, because that's the thing, too, is, like, that we just go and vote for candidates and, like, stuff like House of Cards and that give, like, that image of what's going on behind closed doors and what goes on and things that, like, we
and the other thing, too, is
to
House of Cards,
society.
Too. Can you imagine if people knew that shit happened in real life?
Oh, my gosh, dude. It would be anarchy.
Yeah,
dude.
People are like, oh, I love Frank Underwood. Like, you do know he's one of the worst human beings on the
yes,
planet, right?
That's insane.
But I love to see what he's up to. I'm like, you do know he's literally Hitler.
it's pretty scary.
Like
I start watching the third
season.
He's
a terrible
here.
Person.
Yeah.
Like, I love that show.
The show's amazing.
But you're not really rooting for him.
You just want to see what he's gonna do next.
Yes, exactly. Like if you
how,
root
like
for
how's
him,
he gonna get out of this?
Yeah, exactly. If you're rooting for Frank Underwood, Francis
Man.
Underwood, if you're
I,
not a friend of his,
I, this was the first
you know?
Time I watched House of Cards where I was kind of going, you know what, that other candidate, I kind of hope he wins, just to see like that. If Kevin Spacey needs to leave the show, I kind of like this other candidate, even though he's like a young Frank Underwood that hasn't been corrupted yet by the amount of power that he can get by being where he is in office.
But see, the corruption that Frank Underwood has is going to be brought in full force to that kid, and that kid's going to fall.
Nice.
Frank's is, you know, but I'm saying,
like, episodes in of this new season going, wow, this is so freaking good already. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, that's just another example of what I'm talking about, is they took something that was successful and just adapted it to be familiar for us, blew it out of the water. And it just helps that the fact that it's tremendous writing, you know, it's tremendously acted.
And how is, like, this fictional political campaign that was supposed to more or less mimic what happened last year better than the campaign that we actually had last year?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it was, and then this is, I think, the first season they've actually strayed to do their own story rather than mimic what's going on in society. Obviously, you know, they're ISIS. I can't remember what they call it, but they have their own version of ISIS going right now. And it's like a domestic, not international terrorism.
Yep.
But very, very, very well done stuff going on right now in House of Cards. I apologize. We went on another tangent there.
That's right.
But that's what's wonderful about, you know, trying to find these original ideas. And, like, where are they coming from? They're not coming from anywhere anymore.
Yeah. It's really hard to come up with something original. And even if you do, it's going to have shades of something else. And, like, my cousin who makes movies, their third movie that's coming out this hopefully later this year, but even their first two are just a different way of telling another story.
It's formulas now.
Yeah, and it's like, which one are you going to take? How can you make? How can you take one of the 12 story arcs that are available to tell about human beings and adapt it in a different way so it feels different, but you can relate to it? You know, and if you're good at that, that's what you're going to do. You know what I mean? That's how you're going to do it. But there's people who are out there making random nonsense. It's never going to catch on to the mass. You're never going to, it's never going to be the next big thing because it's too different from whatever you're looking at.
Was Blair Witch Project kind of like an adaptation that kind of led to some different things?
Just a spooky force against people who don't know any better.
But like the first person type of storytelling?
Oh no, that's a visual technique more than storytelling.
Okay.
I mean, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Hardcore Henry did it way better than Blair Witch did.
Yeah, and then like that, what are those pseudo paranormal activity type of movies?
Yeah, anything found footage-wise,
What was the one that...
Because even in those, you're not telling a new story, you're just telling it a different way. You're just taking a different way of looking at it and telling that same story. It's just a spooky story about a bad thing happening to good people.
Yeah.
Just instead of doing it as a outside view of it to being a first person view of it. That's all it really is. Because, you know, people say, oh, Hollywood ran out of ideas. Hollywood ran out of ideas years ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're just now running out of ideas how to make those new feel new. That's all it really is. But I think that's going to be it for that.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
We got a nice hour and a half in. So we're going to end the show with a thank you to Ken.
Yep,
thanks for having me, guys.
For letting us come in and invade your store for a little bit. And for a little bit, Miss Brown over here was here too. But that's it for Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
I am Cody. And again, thanks for listening. I'll sign off with a normal one instead of my curse-filled one that I normally do because of Kayla's in the room. But that's it for this week's, guys. We will talk to you next time.